Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. Each week, we learn the story behind that vanity plate. The one you saw driving down the road? What does it say? What does it mean? Why did they choose it? This week, we meet Keith Fauché, the current president of the Hudson Valley Ski Club. Keith's plate, HVSC, was chosen for his love of skiing, the outdoors, and the club. We talk about the club and all it offers its Hudson Valley members and more. I even share one of my skiing experiences. Plus, we talk acting and set design. All right, let's push off to this week's episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm very excited to have Keith Fauché from the Hudson Valley with me. I actually spotted his plate in a park and ride in the Hudson Valley. I left him a postcard and he responded. So welcome to the show, Keith.
Well, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to have you. So your license plate is HVSC.
Correct.
Four letters. Tell me what that means.
Well, it stands for the Hudson Valley Ski Club, of which I'm a member and currently president. And I thought hard about what kind of a plate I would like to get. And I've been thinking about it for several years. And something came up on a website I was on that said New York State offered specialty plates for ski area. And it basically, my plate says, I ski New York. And that's a program within New York to get people out on the slopes. And I said, okay, that may have just answered my long quest for what to put on a plate.
That made it easier.
Yeah, and Hudson Valley Ski Club has been, it's been great. I love the members. I like going on the trips that they have. So I just went with HVSC. And your response has been similar to other people's. They want to know what it's about. And I don't know if you noticed, but I had to have a plate frame made that actually spelled out HudsonValleySkiClub.org to get people to go to our website and hopefully become members.
That's awesome. Now, how long have you been a skier?
I have been a skier. Well, I skied when I was young in high school, got married, and that was downhill skiing, and it's too expensive, so we did cross country.
Uh-huh.
And then later in life, I took up downhill again back in 1990. So I've been skiing pretty active, pretty regularly since 1990. So
that's awesome. Unfortunately, I can't chat back and forth with you about skiing because my skiing experience is not the best. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but can I tell you my skiing story?
Sure.
So I was in high school and I was dating an avid skier. He was part of the ski club as well. So he went on lots of ski trips and he said, you know, you should ski too, because, you know, we're dating, I ski, come skiing with me.
That's right.
And I had never skied before. And so I went, I actually found a set of skis at a yard sale. You know, I wasn't willing to go all in,
right,
having
right.
never
That's a good
done
way
it before.
To, good way yeah. to start.
Yeah. So I bought the skis and the boots and the poles, and I had no idea what to expect. There was no Google back then, no YouTube. And he took me to the ski mountain. He took me to the mountain, I guess. And instead of the bunny hill, he took me to a real slope.
Yes.
That was his first mistake. Got me up on the chair, no lessons first. He was just going to teach me. Second mistake.
Yep.
Took me up on the chair. I jumped off. I don't know how I even did that. We're at the top of the ski, what is it, slope, right? We're at the top of the slope. And he's trying to teach me what to do. The problem is he's super smart and he picks things up really fast. So to teach someone who's not as quick, a little less small in the patience area. So he was trying to get me to understand how to get up. He said, you know, fall down, because getting up is the most important thing once you're on the skis. I couldn't figure it out, or I didn't have enough upper body strength. Something was not working.
Right.
And he got really frustrated with me and he skied away.
Oh, you know, your story, unfortunately, is pretty atypical of that kind of a date situation.
Yeah.
And it's, I have actually seen girls, and boys, just sit down and take their skis off and try to walk down. And,
well,
and
that's what I did.
Where you are, you still have to go all the way down.
I was at the top of the hill, yeah. Yes. So yeah. I took the skis off. I was mad. I was sad. I was not in a good way. And he was skiing down the hill.
He was gone.
He's gone. And nobody helped me. I was so embarrassed because I took the skis off. I had the skis in one hand and the poles in the other. And I was walking down the ski slope
in those ski boots is not the easiest of things to do.
Luckily, it was a really fluffy, nice snow. It wasn't like crusty and hard and terrible. So the snow was perfect for me to walk down. But I was really embarrassed because everybody else was, you know, skiing by me. And needless to say, I did not get back up on the mountain that day or ever again.
Ever again.
Now,
I was just skiing Sunday with a grandson, and you mentioned lessons, and that's exactly what I told him. I said, you're going to take a lesson, get the best equipment that they've got, and he walked away very happy. He's texting me wanting to know where he can buy skis and what skis I have in the garage, and I've done that with my kids and my grandkids.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So you've passed it along, your passion for skiing and your enjoyment.
I want them to at least try it. Go out and give it a shot. I have one granddaughter that tried it and she's, I'm not interested. But that's fine. At least you gave it a shot. And it's a confidence builder. It's a good way to meet people. And I think it's a great activity. You're outside, you're getting fresh air and
exercise.
Exactly. Right.
Now, does it keep your body young or do you find it takes a toll on you?
It can take a toll, and our club has a lot of people my age, and you do see a lot of Advil being consumed, and there's braces involved.
Okay.
But they still go. They still get out there, and I think it keeps us young. I certainly do think it keeps us young, and it's challenging. You get your heart going. You get some slopes that will just you can feel it. You know, my heart's pumping.
Yes.
That's got to be good for you. I can't see how that cannot be good for you.
I agree. You know, they say your lymphatic system needs to have you moving around in order to process. And certainly it's got to keep your heart strong.
Sure.
And you're only as old as you feel.
Yep. And it also gets me to the gym getting ready because you don't want to pay all this money for a trip out west. And then the first day your legs are hurting so bad, you can't do the other 4 days.
One of our sponsors is the Isotonics line of nutritional supplementation. It's a nutraceutical. One of the products they offer in the line is called Joint Support Formula.
Mm-hmm.
The Joint Support Formula is great because it helps to actually rebuild cartilage, and it definitely keeps your joints good for those bending and moving around that you do on the slopes, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Yeah, it's good to have a good breakfast.
It sounds like preparation is key.
It is.
And so tell me a little bit more about the ski club history. How long has it been around?
The ski club was formed in 1939. And in its heyday had a membership well over 600 people here in the lower Hudson Valley. And mainly fueled by IBMers, because if you've been a resident any long time around here, you know IBM was big. Because we're now running around 160 members. We run two trips a year out west. We do several trips here on the East Coast to Vermont, to New Hampshire, in New York also. During the week, our Facebook page, or you can just type in there, I'm going skiing Wednesday. Anybody want to join me? And next thing you know, you got four or five people carpooling and you're going skiing. When we're not doing that, our club also we have hikes. We do kayaking. A lot of bikers in our club. We take trips to, we went up to Tanglewood as a group to see a concert. We go to plays. We do a lot of things together. We have garden parties. It's a fun group of people. My wife is a member. She's not a skier, but she enjoys the company. And she actually goes with me on the Western trips because some of those little villages, those ski towns, are great shopping. So it's a great bunch of people. That's all I can say. It's a great club.
It sounds like it's more of a social club than a ski club.
Yes, exactly. It's our mission, obviously, is to promote skiing, promote ski instruction, but we do a lot more. Our people keep active.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. Yeah. So you're a skier, you're the president of the ski club, you're a husband, a father, and a grandfather.
And a great-grandfather.
And a great-grandfather.
Actually, I like to say my son is a grandfather. We'll just say that. I do some volunteer work in the community. I volunteer with the Springside Landscape Restoration, which is in the process of restoring the landscape at Matthew Vassar's gentleman's farm, mm-hmm. which he had down on Academy Street. I work at that. I work at the County Players in Wappingers. I help build sets for the plays that come up, and that's fun. That's a fun thing to do.
Now, are you an actor as well?
I'm hoping to, when I retire. I have retired from my full-time job with New York State, but I've been working for consulting firms for the past 10 years. And I'm pretty sure, and I think I'm right, that the acting, if to get in one of these plays, it takes an awful lot of time.
Oh, yes.
With the rehearsals and everything. So I'm going to wait till I finally retire, which should be this year.
Oh, okay, great.
And I think I'm going to give it a shot. They'll have me. And I also work through Adirondack Mountain Club. I maintain a 1 mile stretch of the Appalachian Trail over in Eastern Dutchess County. Go out there a couple, three times a year, just walk the trail, help anybody that maybe need direction or provide water, clean up anything. There's usually, once again, there is not a lot of trash or anything. I make sure there's no branches across the trail. My kayaking side is I work with the Institute for Ecological Studies up in Millbrook. They have been running a program in conjunction with Cornell University studying submerged plants on the Hudson River. And we go out on a two-person team and take an area and we plot out where there are under submerged plants, mm-hmm. which gives us an idea of the health of the river, the health of the plants, and also keeps track of any invasive species. I don't know if you've ever walked down by the river and found those very pointy shells.
Yeah.
Not shells, but like acorn. They're an invasive species.
I hate those.
yes. It's called the water chestnut, and they're not native to the Hudson River. But I think what we have found over the years is that they've found their little niche, and they really haven't pushed out the native plants. So I work with that every year to just keep plotting to see how the river is doing.
That's great. Yeah, my husband is a sailor. And he's a member of the Chelsea Yacht Club.
Okay.
And that's where he keeps his boat. And that's also a social club as well.
Sure. Yep.
But those things, those little water chestnutty things are everywhere. And of course, you're wearing sandals mm-hmm. or whatever. And they really know how to grab your feet.
Yes. You don't want to be barefoot around them.
No, you do not. No, you do not. I wanted to just go back. You said that you're not acting. You're actually building sets, but you'd like to act.
Yes.
Do you have any particular parts or types of roles that you imagine you'd love to play when you jump into the acting pool?
Well, I'd love to play the young man, the young lover, but that has passed.
Oh, well, listen, you know, who knows?
I would be open to anything, probably comedy. I think I would rather, certainly not a singer. I can rule out musicals.
Okay.
the next play that's coming up, I didn't get in on the auditions, I think would have been fun. It's The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The set is going to be very interesting to build. It's a large set.
So. Yeah.
And that can be challenging to build something that's sturdy, but not, you're not building a house.
But it's temporary. Yeah.
It's temporary. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun to see the innovative ways that we come up with. Stairways and doors and and just to bring that illusion that behind that door is a garden or is a garage or something. It's fun.
Well, you're bringing
when it's
that
all over, you just take it right down.
Take it down, put it in the garbage, and you're an engineer, so you probably bring a lot of that expertise that
makes
it not only innovative but safe for the actor.
Yes. Yeah. We always have to realize that. So we have to work with the director and the actors and say, okay, what exactly is this table going to do? Is mm-hmm. someone going to be sitting on it? Is someone going to stomp on it? Or is it just going to sit there as a table? It makes
a difference. Right.
Is this door going to be slammed, opened, 20 times, or the door just there is a door.
Right. So, you're right. Those are all really good considerations. I've been an actor for most of my life. I was in, you know, plays since I was a kid. And I will say I never enjoyed the set piece. It occurred to me like a lot of work. You got to paint it and you got to nail it. And I was like, but when do I get the spotlight on me?
There you go. See, you're at the other end.
I guess so. Now, most recently, I actually have done a lot of improv acting. And that, you don't need sets. You just show up in probably all black and you create everything out of nothing.
Yes.
Which is super fun.
I love live theater, no matter what.
Yeah, me too. It's a different sort of live than the County Players, which is you're seeing a show with a story that's an arc. And but I do enjoy live performance, live whether it's improv or traditional theater.
Yep.
Yeah, good. One final thing. I like to turn the tables and have you ask me one question. Is there one question you'd like to ask me?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, go ahead.
I think when you see one of those plates, like you say, you're trying to figure out just what are they trying to say here?
Yeah, some of them it's hard to tell. And this is actually my fourth podcast that I've worked on. I've done two others as a collaboration, and I worked very briefly as a freelancer hosting and editing and producing podcasts. So when I had the idea of the Vanity Plate, I thought podcasting would be actually a really fun venue, a fun media to use for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for asking. Thanks so much for being on Trista's Plate Story Podcast. It's been wonderful to have you as a guest and learn about you. And I'm sure that we'll see you driving around. But if anybody's interested in joining a ski club or a social club like the one that you're talking about, I think they should definitely check you out.
Exactly. HudsonValleySkiClub.org.
There you go. Awesome.
Love to have you.
Well, thanks so much. And I wish you well.
All right, Trista, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. Please subscribe to get the story behind all of those vanity plates driving with you on the road. If you want more information about the Isotonics Joint Support Formula or any of our partners and sponsors, or you would like to nominate the owner of a license plate, including you, come see us at platestory.com. That's PL8story.com and give us the details. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a review, give us a share. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.